What an important kingdom we are a part of. What an important Savior we belong to. What an important name that has been given, the name to which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord.
That is the mission before us, that others would know, hear, and understand and surrender to the glory of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon has one final look at our journey through John before we close out this marvelous look at the life of Jesus. We invite you to spend time with us today as we take a final look at the mission that we have been left with as Jesus heads back to the Father and leaves us with that mission that we are to stay focused on. Again, John chapter 21, looking at verses 20 through 25. Let's catch up with Pastor Chris Gordon right there for today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
The call here is directly tied to the mission. The call to follow is directly tied to the mission that he has. It's my mission, it's my kingdom, it's my church. And Jesus is here exerting his ownership over Peter. I mean, it's not just a mindless little statement. When we say in the Heidelberg, "You're not your own." That sounds nice, doesn't it? But that's a big claim on your life. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Now, even when God's children receive this calling, sometimes it always came with a fight. Sometimes they always stood back and they didn't quite follow. And that's, I think, the strange moment at the end of John as we are seeing a sort of wrestling with this call here. You'll notice that Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. The one who had leaned back against him during the supper and said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to him, "Lord, what about this man? What about him?" This is a really interesting moment at the end of the Gospel of John. Interesting inclusion. One that had come privately to Jesus, who at the supper, remember, had asked Jesus privately, "Who's going to betray you?" And Jesus revealed it to him. It's John. "What about him, Lord?" How do you take that? Well, it's interesting that if you go through the commentators, a lot of them say that Peter was really concerned for John, that Peter was caring for John and hoped that he wouldn't have to go through what he just had to go. Do you believe that? Peter's mindset is just like the Gordon household. "Hey, get in there and clean the kitchen. What about so-and-so? Go outside and pick up the dog stuff. Well, they didn't do it last week." I mean, this has been my whole life parenting. And this is exactly what's going on here. Does he get the easy road? Is he going to have to go die like me? I mean, there's a kind of envy in this, I think. Sometimes we're really concerned about where Jesus has other people, aren't we? "You've appointed this for me. Well, I hope I'm not the only one." This has very much to do with who is the Lord of our lives, doesn't it? You see, and it's giving us some kind of perspective through this and help through this. I've seen a lot of very unhappy people throughout my years in the ministry for the simple reason they're not happy or accepting of their place in life. They struggle with that. Some get very bitter about that. All the way to the job, the vocation, whatever it is. And what is Jesus' answer? It's interesting, isn't it? Look at the sovereignty of Jesus here put on display. "If it is my will that he remains until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You follow me. I have a will," says Jesus. "I have a will for your life. If it's different than the person next to you, or if it's different than the other person over there, that ultimately is not your concern. Some are always caught in questions. Some are always caught in these sort of things. And they're always questioning everything. And they miss their actual calling. It's a very freeing moment, I think, in the Gospel of John. When you understand this and can appreciate this, it's a very freeing perspective on all of life and how you look at it. We are not here for ourselves. We're not here for names. We're not here for glory. We're not here to arrive. We're not here to build a legacy. We're not here for any of that. Jesus has a will for our lives. And what he's saying here is, when I called you, I purchased you. You belong to me. You will go and fulfill the work that I have for you. Listen to that. You will go and fulfill the work that I have for you. Your concern is very similar to what Cindy Cluey put up on the wall. Jesus, others, and then yourself. That'll save you a lot of heartache in life, by the way. A lot of frustration when you're not very happy with where you are. And you live in the bitterness of that. His will is being accomplished in the calling that he has for you to specifically follow him, to follow him right where he has you. Some people have an easy go of life. And some people have a really difficult go of life. I've never understood that. As a pastor, I've seen it all. I've seen some people who go through life pretty carefree. They have little death and little hardship, and they have all this abundance, and they have all these things. And then I see people in some families where it's just one constant suffering after another. And it's difficult. It's difficult to understand. It's difficult to see. And how often do we look at the person next to us? What about them? I think this is why the Bible comes to us and says, listen, your life, whether you eat or drink, you can glorify the Lord. No matter what it is. You can sit down at a table and you're eating, you can glorify God. You can go to your work every day in the place he has for you that's monotonous and sometimes burdensome and it never seems like it's going to end, and you can glorify God. But do you see the problem? One of the great hindrances is our refusal to accept where he has us. And when you understand the sovereign will of the Lord, that you may not know that will in the way that you want to know that will, but that there is one. And that there's guidance in that. And that he is simply fulfilling, you are fulfilling what he has for you. You, Peter, will die for me. That's what will happen. What a privilege you get. Every time you're suffering and you're bearing a cross, you can remember this. You can remember this. What a great purpose. The first challenge is hearing that call and accepting that call. Follow me. Somebody owns you. Somebody purchased you. But then comes the second confusion, the massive confusion. With the call comes the confusion that John captures. I think there's two issues that are coming together here. Doesn't seem immediately connected, but it's important for the mission. After Jesus said, "If I will that John remains until I come, what is that to you?" Here's what happened. Verse 23, so the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Are you kidding me? Here we are after the resurrection and Jesus is dealing with these guys who won't listen again? And you could first say that the major point is pay attention to Jesus. Pay attention to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. People will come up sometimes in the course of ministry. Every pastor knows this. And they'll come up and they'll say, hey, you said this today. You said this today, or you said that. And they're caught there. They're over there. And they miss the entire main point of what was said in the sermon. That's happened to me so many times in the ministry, I don't think I can even count. And it had no bearing on ultimately the major point of what was being said. But it froze them and they couldn't listen anymore. They couldn't listen anymore. Jesus was frequently misunderstood. And isn't it interesting at the end of John that this issue gets raised right at the end? It makes me feel good that it happened to Jesus frequently. You ever been misunderstood? No, I didn't mean that. You don't have any of that from Jesus here. He knew exactly how this went. Think of the implication of this. So what you have here for a minute is not only stay with the calling that Jesus has given you, but now what I believe is happening here, stay with the mission that Jesus has given you. Now, what's the connection to that? See it. People spend a lot of time speculating and wasting time on issues they shouldn't because they just didn't listen very well. All of a sudden, they become predictors of the second coming. Did you know that? Hear this. Jesus said, did you hear him? Did you hear him? Did you hear Jesus today? Jesus just said, John will never die until he comes. I mean, that's an amazing prophecy Jesus just gave. And what that means is that John's going to be alive when Jesus comes. That was how they took it. So we know the time, and we know exactly the hour. We can watch John, can't we? Jesus' emphasis was, you follow me. Don't worry about him if you were to remain till I come. Let me ask you the question. How many foolish disputes have you seen in the church on the wrong stuff? That's never happened, right? I remember Dr. Godfrey clearly in his teaching on church history said, the church has given so much energy at times to the wrong things, we missed what was important. Church history has proven that. How many stupid debates? I remember a Bible study years ago in a Reformed church, and they were studying the creation account, and for an hour, they debated that the mist that came up from the ground, it had to have been a spring, it couldn't be a mist. And then there was a division right in the Bible study over whether it was a mist or whether it was a spring. And it happened the next week again. Well, you know what we do in these moments. We start the first mist church and the first spring church. How many stupid debates? Sometimes it gets a little more complex. Christ and culture. I'm two kingdoms. I'm Kyperian. That's important. Split. I'm for common grace. What? No, you can't use grace. Goodness only. Well, that's important discussion. I'm supra or I'm infra. They may be important discussions and they may have important implications, and because of error that can flow, certainly, hear me, things have to be corrected and we have to have discussions about these things. But I think at the end of John, there's an important message here for the church. What can happen with eschatology? Well, we've known what can happen with eschatology. There's a reason Paul told Timothy, avoid foolish disputes over words and useless wranglings of people destitute of the truth. I think the point here is clear. Pay attention to Jesus. Now, that should be a big statement to you right now, coming through the Gospel of John. Keep your eyes on Jesus. We beheld his glory. The glory of the Son of God, full of grace and truth. Stay focused on the mission. Remember Acts 1? Lord, are you now finally going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You go and preach the kingdom of God. Maybe the real message is just a display of how much they needed the Holy Spirit to come. Right? Maybe that's the real message here. How much we need the Holy Spirit to keep us in the truth. It's the reason we have a prayer of illumination that when we pray every Sunday that the Spirit would guide us in the truth. But it's not just the spoken truth, it's how you hear that truth and receive that truth. See how dependent we are. Look at this. Look at them. They can't hear the calling and they're over here on this and they've got caught up in a dispute over here. Welcome to ministry. You know, the Pharisees were always trying to pull Jesus off the path. This is what they were masters at. Hey, Jesus, tell us what you think. Anyone who says that, just run away from. Tell us what you think with that sarcastic attitude. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? They always were trying to catch him and pull him away. And he didn't let it happen. He gave the answer, and then he always refocused. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. That was what Acts showed us, was once the Spirit came, how focused they were on what was most important in the message. And I think that's why the book ends this way, with a giant clarification that John now gives. As we know, this was written later, and John looked back and summarized these things. This is the disciple. Notice this here. Notice the great clarification in the third point here. This is the disciple who's bearing witness about these things. I kind of understand it. And who has written these things. And we know that his testimony is true. I don't see how anyone could come up with a different author than John on this. They've tried to. I'm bearing witness to you about the matters, as Paul would say later, of first importance. I think that's why the book transitions right here at the end. What things? The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. The things concerning God's eternal Son. Those things. There's a record of a testimony that is given to us in a book that's been handed to us. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, these things are written down. These things are given to you. And notice, why were these things written? Well, this is where the whole book comes together. Notice how John ends here. There are many other things that Jesus did. We could talk forever about all the things that Jesus did. We could have a lot of debate about this and that. Why they were written down and when they were written down. But these things were given by inspiration from God. This is what he chose. This is what he chose for you. Everything that should fascinate you. The world could not contain all the things that he did on this earth. But why were these things written? And that takes you back to the thesis of the book. John said at the end of chapter 20, these things were written that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Notice that, right at the end. These that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. That's the message the world needs right now. That is really the message the world needs right now. This is where our priority must be. This is why we exist as a people in a church. Look at the world of sorrow right now. Look at all the hardship right now. Look at all the pain right now. Look at a world blighted by sin and sorrow. People need to know a judgment's coming. Do they? Do they understand that a great judgment's coming? And do they understand that in the midst of this gospel, John announced, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will be saved from all this. Yeah, John's dealt with everything that needed to be dealt with. He showed us the glories of Jesus Christ. He showed us his person and his work. And all of your failures are not an excuse to avoid his calling on your life now. See, that's chapter 21. You are his witnesses. He's paid for your sins. You're forgiven all your trespasses. And now he says to you, follow me. And stay focused. Remember the beginning of the book. This is the only true light shining in this present darkness. What an important kingdom we are a part of. What an important Savior we belong to. What important name that has been given. The name to which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. This is the gospel of John. This is a gospel of life and a gospel of belief. Is there anyone here today, after all this time in the gospel of John, that still doesn't believe? Is there anyone who doesn't believe? You have everything you need to know here, right here, that's been given to you in the last year and a half through COVID to give you true life, forgiveness, joy, peace. Believe in him. Enjoy the life he's given you. And remember that you were purchased with a price. Your life matters. He loved you enough to die for you. So follow him. Follow him where he has you. Follow him where he's taking you. Follow him to glory. That's the calling he's placed on your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for such a wonderful word and closure to this book. Forgive us, Lord, that often we are caught up in the things that we shouldn't be caught up in. And that often we have fought your calling on our lives wherever you have us. So remember what is at stake and what the world needs and what we needed and how you've answered us. Awaken us out of slumber. Now is the high time to wake and out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first began. Thank you for calling us with a holy calling. Thank you for setting us apart to you. Thank you for making us your salt and light. Bless your word to our hearts and to the ends of the earth. May the world understand the glories of Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us these things that we might believe and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And that will bring us to the end of today's broadcast and our marvelous journey through John. Next time we get together as we close out the week here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, we'll take a look at the Lord's table, just exactly what it is. We'll take a look at its institution, its meaning, and the joy found there at the table. Again, that's tomorrow as we close out the week here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. If you have a praise report, we would love to hear from you. They always mean a great deal to us. It lets us know that the program is, in fact, having a positive effect on your life as you seek to live it out to the glory of God in the grace of Christ. Here's how you reach out to us. As always, our web address, agradio.org. Other formats are available. The jumping off points there for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, again, agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. If you're writing to us, the address is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And then, if you have a question or a praise report, we would encourage you to pull out your smartphone, access the Voice Memo app, leave your name and where you're calling from, your praise report or your question, and then email that audio to us at questions@agradio.org.
And we'll do our best to have Chris answer any question you have, or we'll at least be encouraged by your praise reports. That always means a great deal to us. But again, get out that voice memo app. Send us a question or a praise report to questions@agradio.org. Again, thank you for taking some of your valuable time and directing it our way. It's greatly appreciated, and we trust you've been encouraged in Christ. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.